The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Is it you or me?
Ooh.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Alex Albrecht.
I'm Allison Hayslip. And you know what? For maybe like the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to drink some booze and talk some news.
Hell.
What? I'm a little sad it took us almost a year to realize that those two words rhyme.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get there slowly, people.
Well, we have the luxury, nigh the pleasure, to be joined by our co-commander, Captain Jean-Luc Tom Super Volcano Krajewski Picard.
That was my
cat. It's only a 30-minute show, Alex.
I know. God damn it.
Hear this.
God damn it. How you guys doing?
All right. Good. Glad to be
good.
Here. Make me laugh.
How
now,
was your
make me laugh.
How was your birthday?
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It
was super fun. Yeah. I am now 1 year older. Sheesh. As the
what?
Calendars
the,
work.
You too?
You're the
I
big,
am too.
You're the big 4-0.
Yes.
Can we say that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay, you're the big 4-0.
I mean, I don't know who.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm not, it's like, first off, it's hysterical because all of my friends, this is just the sort of thing that happens when you hit milestone birthdays,
right,
is they sort of either fall right before you or right after you in the becoming a 40-year-old range. So
what?
I went to a couple 40-year-old birthday parties,
okay,
and I was like, that's fucked up, you're 40. And then I had mine.
You're like, oh,
and
shit.
My friends who are 39 were like, that's fucked up, you're 40. And then I'm like, yeah, I'll see you in a month, you fucker.
I'm still not near that.
No, but when it happens...
Shut up.
But when it happens, God willing, because that's what everybody wants, is to get 1 year older.
Yeah,
you're gonna have that weird thing where like your friends are like, boom, all of a sudden it's like, and it's like dominoes.
This year's been all 40th birthdays for me.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. When do you turn 40?
Next April. Yeah.
Yeah. See,
next April.
6 months. 7 months.
Yeah.
April what?
Second.
Oh, okay.
I actually forgot.
Second.
I was concerned
fourth,
in my
third?
Conflict. I was concerned in my conflict with my brother's wedding. Because I couldn't go to Alex's 40th birthday because we had this like family reunion birthday thing in Philly that weekend, and
bullshit.
It made me so sad. I wanted to be there.
It was great.
It was super fun. It was super fun. And then my little sister, who is very good at getting me experiences.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So a while back, so remember when I was doing my pilot's license?
Mm-hmm.
I was studying to get my pilot's license, which I never actually finished.
Right.
But I had all the time in, and I took the written test and passed it, and it was just like, you know, and then it sort of fell away, and I was like, this is not worth $5,000 for me right now.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Just to finish it, you know what I mean? I'd already spent a good amount.
But guess what? You have the skill that if we're in some sort of apocalyptic situation, you could fly a plane.
Burzactly. But that started because my little sister, for my birthday, got me an hour of helicopter flying.
Oh, helicopter flying is surprisingly, A, difficult, and B, boring.
Is it really?
Well, first off, let us hear the story of you helicopter flying.
Well, I learned how to fly a helicopter in Australia for G4.
Oh, cool.
And it's just so precise.
Yeah.
Like you have to be very, very exact with your movements.
Yeah, there's no like autopilot like on planes.
No, exactly. Yeah. And the rotors are so sensitive.
Yeah.
But also that means you are making very, very tiny, minute changes.
Yeah.
It's not like you're like, it's not like in the movies where they like throw it to the
around.
Right and
yeah,
throw
yeah,
it
yeah.
to the left. You have to be so delicate with your movements so then once you're up there, it doesn't look like you're doing anything.
Yeah.
And so we shot this whole package about me like learning how to fly a helicopter, and then the producer was like, it's so boring. It's so boring because you can't.
Yeah.
I'm doing such little movement with my hands and we're not really going anywhere. You know, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I had the same. I had the same feeling, except for me, I was like, well, I want to maybe use this for travel, like to go places. And a helicopter seems like it's more babysitting work. Like you have to really be on it the whole time. Whereas like with a plane, you just point in the direction you want to go and hit the autopilot.
Right.
Or just lock in. I mean, even without an autopilot, you just sort of lock it in so that you can let go of the stick and it just goes in the direction you're going at the height, you know, at the altitude you're going. And then I just found that that was really boring. Like I love taking off. I love landing. Everything in between was boring.
Yeah.
So I get a text from my little sister that says, hey, I'm going to be giving you something for your birthday.
Ooh.
But I need you to schedule a day that you can be in Indio or near Palm Springs.
I thought you were going to say India. I'm like, that's excessive.
Just one day.
Just one day.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so 12 hours there, or 18 hours there, 18 hours back, one day I'm there. Great. No, in Palm Springs, like out in Palm Springs. And so I was like, okay. And so I gave her some times and she, like, half an hour later, those don't work. I'm like, well, all right. So finally I was like, okay, you need to tell me what's going on.
Right.
Give me the gift of surprise. This is what I'm getting you. And she said, I'm getting you a day of what they call the car control course at the BMW Performance Driving Center in Thermal, California. And I was like, A, there's a Thermal, California, which there is. And I was there. By the way, also, very apropos that it's named Thermal because it was 116 fucking degrees out there. It was crazy. But so anyway, so Heather and I rented a place in Palm Springs, went out for the weekend, hung out. I woke up on Monday morning, drove myself to the Thermal Car Club racetrack and had a day of driving the shit out of these BMWs.
That's
and
awesome.
It was so much
fun. What kind of BMWs?
So, like, good news,
like
bad news.
Ones you can buy or ones that are...
Yeah, totally.
Oh, okay.
But the good news is, so we rode... So, for the most of the day, we drove in 235i two-door cars, two-door coupes. The good news about that is, I mean, it's not like the fastest, beefiest, you know, thing you can buy at BMW. It's not like an M3 or an M2 or anything like that. But the good news is, it's the exact same engine as my current personal car.
Because
I have a 335i.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is awesome. I mean, like, I get in the car and I'm like, yeah, this is like
this
exactly like my car. And first off, like, there was only four of us, right?
Who are
and
the
it was
other
a
two?
Group class. No, I mean, there was only four total drivers.
So it's you and Heather
up
and
to
two
10
other people?
No. I mean, my little sister got me the experience. Heather just went with me.
Oh, I see.
So she just stayed at the house we rented and hung out. So it was like super personalized. It's usually up to like 10 to 15 people in the thing. So it really was like a private lesson. Mm-hmm. And it was from 8:30 to 4:30. So it was like a full day of
work day of driving Beamers.
Dude, first off.
Yeah. Don't call
it. Super fun, but my mind is blown. My car has no blind spot anymore.
Oh, what?
You now know everything about your car.
So I'm sitting there, we're taking this, like, there's like an hour of like, we're just going through like what we're going to do today and a couple different things and all this stuff and like how to adjust your seat and all this stuff. First off, I didn't know this. There are three pedals in every car. There's a gas, a brake, and what they call a dead pedal or a dead brake.
I've never
something
seen
like
one.
That.
The emergency brake?
No. So you know how there's that thing that looks like a pedal, but it's just built into the bottom of your thing?
Yeah.
That's
actually
something you're supposed to use.
Wait, I thought it was like a footrest or something.
No, it's to brace your leg against so that when you're doing aggressive driving, you don't slide around in your chair.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what? That's what that thing's been there for?
Oh, okay.
It's literally, and it works. You put your foot up against it and brace your leg.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you can drive the shit out of your car and you never like fly around and you don't slide down, which is really important because you don't want to get your foot behind the brake accidentally.
Right.
So that was something I was like, this is great. But the blind spot thing blew my mind.
Okay.
He was like, what do most people have when they're turning lanes that they got to worry about? And I was like, blind spot. And they were like, yes,
they're
most
like,
people
get
have
a
blind spot, right? So they show a picture of sort of like a car and then how much you can see out of the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
They said most of the stuff you're going to see is out of your rearview mirror. You're constantly looking at it even if you don't realize it, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And they said, but then when you look out of your
side views,
how do you set your side view mirror? And somebody was like, so that you can just see a sliver of your car in the side view mirror.
No.
Well,
that's
no,
I do,
you're not supposed to do that. That's how I do it all the time. That's
how 90%
of people do.
You're supposed to see like half the car.
What?
Right. Yeah. No, the exact opposite. You're not supposed to see any of your car in the rearview mirrors.
Oh, what?
In your side view mirrors.
In your side view mirrors, yes. Because they showed this graph of like, this is the angle of stuff that you can see out of your rear view mirror. And it's like a little triangle.
Okay.
And then they say, well, if you can see any of your car in your side view mirror, this is the amount of stuff that you can see in your side view mirror.
Okay.
And there's this huge overlap between the rear view mirror and the side view mirror.
Okay. So and you don't need your side view mirror turned in that much.
No, at all. So the way that you do it is, and it blew my, I mean, I literally was like, driving back, Heather was like, you have to stop looking at your mirrors. Because I was like, oh my God, it works. Yeah, I was like, this thing works. Like,
yeah.
Like, so what you do is you sit in your car comfortably so you can see the your side view mirror, see the sliver. You lean yourself as far as you can sort of towards the door.
Okay.
Then set your mirror so you can just see a sliver of your car.
What? Really?
Then set the driver's side mirror.
Driver's side mirror. So you push yourself to the window.
Push yourself to the window.
Driver's side window so you can just see a sliver of the car. So then when you set back into the center, you can't see any of your car.
Okay. Got it.
And then you do the same thing on the other side. You sort of lean over as far
all the way
as you can
to the right.
Into the console.
Yeah.
I mean, not like trying to do is, you know, get up out of the seat, but just lean and then set it so you can see a sliver of the car and then go back. And now it is really uncomfortable. Because you cannot see your car in either of the side mirrors.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like normally your gauge.
However, as we're driving home, I'm on the freeway, we're on the 10, this car comes up behind me, or in the lane, like to my left,
yeah.
And I see him in my rear view mirror, and before it even leaves my vision in the rear view mirror, I see it in my side mirror.
Oh.
And before it comes out of my side mirror view, I can see it in my peripheral vision.
Wow.
Like, you do not even need to turn your head to glance to the right, let alone looking back.
Right.
It was like, that's worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
Especially because I didn't pay for it.
Yeah, the price of admission of $0 for you.
But so that was like, great. So anyway, that was like, whatever, one little thing. But so we started doing, the first thing we did was a slalom course.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it works is you go out onto the track with the four other cars, and, you know, the instructor, the three other people, and you. And in each car, there's a hand walkie-talkie.
Okay.
And the instructor is talking to everybody on the walkie-talkie.
Okay.
So they're watching you go through the drills and then giving you instructions on the walkie-talkie.
Right.
But they're doing that, and you can hear other people. So you're seeing people do it, and then hearing them correct those people. Then you're doing it yourself, and they're correcting you.
Yeah.
I had so much fucking fun.
Wow. That's awesome.
I mean, I was flying through the slalom course. And
that's
in a car that's like my car. You know what I mean? And then we did a slalom course, which was awesome. And then we did an anti-lock brake simulation thing.
Oh.
Which was like, and they all set it up with cones. And it's like, you start at the green cone, you go up to 35 miles an hour, you wait until you get to this red cone. And as soon as you get to the red cones, you slam on the brakes to get the ABS to trigger and start to slide. But they've set these cones up in a way that you have to actually like avoid the cones.
Okay.
So by the end, we were doing it at 50 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Where we were going full bore to 50 miles an hour and then slamming on the brakes. You know, the anti-lock brake systems start going.
Right.
But you also have to slide your car because otherwise, so it's this controlled skid.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then they got us into an actual race lap. Like on a race course, they were showing us like apexes and entry points and exit points and brake cones and
drifting.
And we get to it. So we like follow the guy on the track and he's talking in the radio. He's like, "This is the cone you want to aim for. You should always be looking like when you hit this moment, you should be looking ahead to this turn." And blah 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 blah. Blah. Dude, I had so much fucking fun because then they just let us go.
Yeah.
And there was four of us and we were just going on this lap. We probably did like 20 minutes of just going back through these laps.
That's fun.
I was swirling through the turns and my wheels are screaming and I'm doing fishtailing and almost flying off the track and going, okay, that was the wrong way to do it. Like, it was so much fun. And I was constantly catching everybody else in the team, on the group.
Oh, man.
And so they're calling people out to go into like pit lane, basically. They're like, so that they can spread us back out again.
Yeah.
Nobody ever got close to my bumper.
Ah.
I was constantly up people's ass. It was so much fucking fun.
Yeah.
And then we did lunch, and then we got into 340i's, which is the newer version of my car, the actual four-seater or four-door. And then we went onto a skid pad.
Okay.
And we literally started doing – and I mean, it's like we're just spinning the cars. I mean, I was doing like 360 spin-outs and being like,
what?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, because they start you – where you start. Basically, it's just an oval that's covered in water.
Oh, they actually covered in water?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they turn off all the stabilization control. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the whole thing was they were like teaching you how to basically recover from those experiences. So the first thing he was like, you basically don't start the skid with the turn. You start the skid with adding acceleration.
Right.
So you start going. So you got the turn locked. You start going. And he's like, okay, give it some more gas. And then all of a sudden, the butt just kicks right out from under you.
Yeah.
And it immediately went into a 360 spiral for me.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I didn't tell you, but everybody does a 360 spiral the first time they do it. But by the end of like 10 minutes, he literally had me sliding the coal car sideways all the way around, never
so
getting
cool.
out of the thing. I was just like locked into this fucking 360 spin around the whole oval.
This reminds me of my life when I was at G4. I did so much car stuff at
G4. Yeah.
I like drag race, and I learned how to skid a car and all that kind of stuff.
So it was so much fun, and then we did the last thing that we did. I mean, besides a time trial thing that we did on the lap, which I didn't do as well as I should have because they changed the thing. There was this one turn that I was nailing and nobody else could get, and then when they were like, great, now we're doing it for time, they took that turn out.
Aww.
And I was like, but that's my turn. You took my turn out? Like, what the fuck? And then you also had to stop. Anyway. So I didn't do very well.
All right, what's the last thing?
So they did this emergency lane changing thing, which was like fucking intense. So the whole thing is they set up two green cones to start, two red cones, and then like three cones and a wall of red cones, and then an outline of other cones to the left. So
basically, none of this makes sense just keep talking, but I'm just saying.
Essentially, it's
because
like
people
a wall
can't
of cones.
See the hand movements you're making. None of this makes sense.
So basically, it's like
just talk about what it is. I don't care about the cones. Yeah. Just talk about what you do.
So basically, the whole concept is if you're driving and somebody stops short or there's an obstacle,
right,
and you need to quickly move into the left lane,
right.
So you need to move left around it,
right.
But there's also
there's traffic going
there's traffic
that way.
Or whatever. And, you know, they were like, okay, let's start at 30 miles an hour. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I got up to 30 miles an hour. And essentially you drive to the first red cones and then you pull off the gas. You do this hard left and then a hard right, then center it. And then you slam on the brakes and come to a full stop. And I did it at 30 miles an hour. And I was like, we're going up to 50 miles an hour to do this thing. And I was like, I barely felt like I could get through there at 30 miles an hour, let alone 50. When we got up to 50 miles an hour, it was just like, I mean, these cars, it's weird because it's also somebody else's car, which is perfect because you're doing shit in this car. It's like having a rental car.
Yeah. Right.
Where you're like, I don't care what happens. And the thing that was so fun with the guy was like, the moment your tires start to sing.
Sing.
Yeah. He said, the moment you hear your tires start to sing, there's 90% or there's 10% more traction in your tire. When you start to hear your tires squeal or scream, then you're at the max limit of you're losing traction.
I see.
And so he was like, your goal is to constantly have your tires singing.
Singing. Wow.
And so by the end, especially when I was doing the laps and stuff, it was just like,
oh, wow.
Oh, that was bad. You know what I mean? And we had one dude slide his car totally off the track into the dirt, which was great.
Take that guy.
And then we had another guy during the anti-lock brake thing fly right through the cones and off the track. So it really felt like we're pushing the limit of these cars, and it was just fucking fun as shit.
Did they teach you to do it again? To drive safely?
Well, no, but it's funny because they said no photos while driving, and we're
my
all
gosh.
Like,
right? Yeah.
And then fucking the guy in front of me, because I can see the guy in front of me, and I'm like, the guy's on his fucking phone. Like, we're driving. We're not doing the
it's
fucking
legal.
Course.
It's a closed course,
yeah,
right?
We're not doing the course. Oh, and then the best part was, and I'll show you, I have a video of this. I got a little video at the end. So the best part is that the very, very last thing you do is what they call a hot lap, which is where you get into the M3 with the professional driver who's a race car driver.
Right.
Like our teacher was a race car driver.
It.
And he fucking tears you around that course.
Oh.
I was like, really driving this course.
No.
He's like, no,
he's driving this course.
No, I'll show you the video. He literally is doing donuts around every single corner.
Yeah.
And we were like, wow, that must be really hard on your tires. And he goes, oh, yeah, I can do that twice on a set of tires and then I need to be replaced.
Oh my gosh.
I was like,
dude.
Holy shit.
Wow.
I was like, how many tires do you guys go through? And he was like, Yeah, on the M3s, like every time we cycle through the class, we'll
put new tires on.
Yeah.
Jeez.
This is your sister's birthday gift to you.
That's amazing.
I got a $15 gift certificate to Subway from my sister.
Hey, yeah, but you don't eat
but useful.
Fresh.
But
hey,
useful.
I used it.
But useful. All right, let's do some emails. You've talked a lot.
Yes, I know. Well, you asked me about the thing.
This is a talking show.
Okay, here we go. Oh, this is good.
Okay, emails.
Go. So this is an email.
Yep.
It says, an email from an Aaron married to an Aaron.
Oh, gosh.
This is my point. Yes.
So,
Aaron.
Well, okay, so here we go. Okay. So, hi, Alex, Allison, and Tom. I'm a big fan of Tech TV, AOTS, Dignation Days. Enjoy the show each week. Never miss an episode.
Woo! Right.
This week, I had a chuckle at your discussion about pronouncing Aaron with an E and Aaron with two A's.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly how my wife and I spell our names.
Right. That's amazing.
People always used to do a double take when we introduce ourselves and never have a problem remembering our names after that. People often wonder if there's confusion as to which one of us someone is addressing in a conversation. And the answer is not as often as you think.
Oh.
Between body language and eye contact and your ears becoming attuned to the difference between Aaron with an A and Aaron with an E,
right,
there isn't that big of a deal.
But you're not saying the last syllable the same way. It's either Aaron or Aaron.
So the way he wrote it out, the way he wrote it out is A hyphen R O N.
Right. But he's
but he's not saying Aaron. Not. He's saying Aaron. I think he's just saying it phonetically.
No. He's saying that the A is the important part and then the E is the important part, not the second half of the name.
Yeah, why would the second half be important?
But
no
then
one,
why
no
would
one
he
says,
write no but then
no one
he,
says
no, wait,
Aaron.
Yeah. No. I will soon disagree with you because he wrote with an A and air hyphen I-N with an E. Now, if it was Aaron.
What are you talking about?
He wrote it A hyphen Ron and air hyphen in are the two difference pronunciations.
He's saying Aaron or Aaron. Aaron or Aaron, the second syllable is still the same.
Well, no. Wait, what is so? How are how
Aaron?
Wait, no. How do you think he's Aaron? Is how you think to pronounce A hyphen R O N?
Yeah,
Aaron.
No one says Aaron. No one says that.
I know.
Aaron.
I don't say that, but I'm just saying that's how it's spelled.
I know, but the difference is,
first
is
off,
the
I
A
love
and
that,
the air.
I love that this was his way of clarifying.
Making it more difficult
making
for
it
us.
He was like, how
Aaron
should I write
and Aaron.
This
out? Aaron. It's so freaking subtle, but no one says Aaron. That's not
well,
how you
the
say
good
the
news
name.
Is, first off, I don't disagree with that. I call them Aaron. Everybody's Aaron.
Aaron.
So,
Aaron.
But anyway,
Aaron
so
Gobra.
Plus, some people having fun with it calling me.
That's what? That's
wait, what?
Irish.
Yeah,
go
Aaron.
Away.
It means Aaron. Aaron is Ireland. That's what my sister's named after, Ireland. Aaron.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. That's
anyway, finish the email.
Anyway,
Aaron and Aaron.
Now that he thinks he's cleared that up, it said, plus some people have fun with it calling me double A or my wife, E. Aaron. E. Aaron. And collectively, we are often referred to as A and E. Arts and entertainment. Very nice. Anyways, keep up the great work. Thanks again for the laugh. Sincerely, Aaron with two A's from Wilberforce, Ontario, Canada.
Wilberforce?
It's a small town in the Helberton Highlands, often referred to as cottage country and roughly 3 hours north of Toronto.
Got it. Cottage country.
Cottage country.
I feel like if I lived 3 hours north of Toronto, I would want to live in something more than a cottage.
Well,
I would want to live in a very warm house.
Oh, a very warm house.
Yeah, it'd be cold up there.
Cottages feel
drafty.
Cottages do feel drafty, but they seem so charming.
They are charming.
And isn't the charm part of warming you?
Maybe.
Doesn't it warm your soul with its charm?
My heart.
No.
Your heart.
My heart.
The hearth.
The cockles
warms
of my
heart.
Cockles.
Cockles. Yes. Disgusting.
Cockles.
Cackles.
Fucking cackles.
Okay, here we go. Ready? This is it says Cookie Monster and Stranger Things.
Oh, yes, Stranger Things.
Cookie Monster and Stranger Things,
okay,
best two things ever.
Yes.
This is an email from Manuel from Sydney, Australia.
Ooh.
I put this in the top so Allison doesn't need to stop you halfway and ask who is this and can say hi to me.
I love our fans. Hi, Manuel.
Amazing.
That gets us.
Hi, Alexander the Great, the amazing Allison, and Super Volcano Tom.
Well, hello.
Thanks for reading my email and naming your latest episode, T2, coming soon.
Oh.
From the story that he sent. He sent the story with the liquid metal.
Nice.
I'm honored.
Look at you getting a double dose of emailing.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And you got my name right the first time. Manuel sounds like man hyphen well.
Yes. Yeah. Unlike A-Ron.
A-Ron.
And Aaron.
Aaron. A-Ron.
Okay, keep reading.
First off, thank you, Allison, for granting my wish and singing.
Oh!
I loved your Cookie Monster rendition.
Oh, I also I sang C is for Cookie. That's right.
Yeah. I also love chocolate chip cookies, although I stay away from the sugar as much as possible to stay healthy.
I'm
sure Tom understands, not Alex, who has to finish the bag of every sweets once opened.
All the candy.
All the candy. And I found Heather's new kryptonite.
What?
I was just out at Sprouts buying some food.
Yeah, Sprouts is a grocery store out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grocery store, buying some food.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want some roasted nuts. Because, like, we have nuts. Like, I get the roasted salted nuts.
Roasted nuts.
Yeah, because raw nuts are stupid. Raw nuts is like eating Play-Doh that kind of tastes like almond.
What?
Anyway.
Okay, you got roasted nuts and Heather ate them all.
No, I bought roasted, shelled on peanuts. When was the last time you bought a bag of peanuts that you had to open yourself?
Never.
My God.
Baseball games.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And I just was like, I want that. That sounds fun. And Heather literally, like, 2 days later, I hear this, like, crack, 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 crack. And then she goes, you cannot ever buy these again. And I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, I can't stop eating them. Awesome. I will eat them forever. Oh. Like,
all
get them
the
out
peanuts.
Of
that.
It's so good.
So that is her sweets because she was hiding sweets from me. So that, because she was like, I just want, like, one little thing. I'll just leave. She, like, had a bag of sweets in her car for a while. Because
and you
she
found
knew
them?
If I brought them in. No.
You found them. Wow. Oh, you didn't find
no,
them.
No, I just knew they were in the car, and I was like, I'm now a homeless person if I go get them out of the car. Like, I've got an addiction if I go to the car.
Right.
But anyway, so that's now her new kryptonite.
All right.
Secondly, I finished watching Stranger Things.
Yes,
after
I finished
Alex
it this
mention
week.
It, and I loved it.
Yeah.
One, have you finished it?
Yes.
Two, what did you think?
Loved it.
I didn't want to give anything. Don't give anything away.
Okay.
If you haven't finished watching it, but yep. I'm interested to hear what you thought overall and specifically of the end. Being an 80s kid, I love the 80s references, the sci-fi and Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. It was always a great TV show. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for season two. What do you think of the second season? Has everybody here finished it?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Here's
the
thing.
What did you guys think?
As I was watching the last episode, I went, oh shit, that's why this show has the title. Because, like, I just assumed it was called Stranger Things because there's a bunch of strange shit happening.
Yeah.
But I realized it's because of the phrase, Stranger Things Have Happened.
Right.
Yes. Stranger Things Have Happened in that fucking town.
Yeah.
So every time you use the phrase, Stranger Things Have Happened, you are referring to this town where strange things have happened.
Yes.
Yes.
And also, the whole thing starts with a boy being kidnapped.
Yes.
Which is not a spoiler because it happens in, like, first 5 minutes or whatever.
Right.
And it's in the trailer.
Well, he doesn't get kidnapped. He just disappears.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and that's the thing. Because the guy says, Hopper says at the beginning, he says to her,
90% of the time.
90% of the time, or 9 times out of 10, they've just run away.
Right.
And she says, yes. What about the other time?
Yeah.
And that's where you say, that's the whole thing of that Stranger Things Have Happened.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Stranger Things Have Happened. I know. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought the kids were, like, the greatest casting ever. I think Winona Ryder could have had maybe one scene where she doesn't sound like a crying lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, literally every time she spoke, I was like,
sore thumb in the whole show.
Yeah.
Worried all the time.
And I love Winona Ryder, but I was like, oh my God, woman. Like, her voice was so affected in literally every single scene she did. It was always like, I was like, okay, chill the fuck down. But beyond that, I thought it was a fantastic show.
The kids were great, and I was just watching last night because my wife brought it up online. Mm. The two of the kids, the toothless kid,
I love him.
The headband kid,
they've
been like
Lucas
Broadway
and,
stars.
I forget
the characters' names actually.
Yeah.
But the toothless kid, it has like this amazing singing voice.
Really,
you can find videos of him from like maybe 7 or 8 singing at ball games with his sister.
Oh.
Like, you have to watch these videos. There's videos of him doing karaoke.
Oh my
he's
gosh,
just insane!
I have
it's
to look
adorable.
That up because he's amazing.
That guy is so cute.
Yeah.
Did you see the meme that was going around that was like the artist rendering of him?
No,
it was just like
with no teeth.
Yeah, it literally came across. Like, it was on Facebook. It was like, try not to smile when you see this picture. And he's just this kid. It's like the caricature of him. And I was like, oh, man.
He's adorable,
That's
man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they were actually really good. I mean, you know, kids acting is always a little hit or miss, but they were really
great. They were all so good.
Yeah.
And they had such a good, I mean, I don't know. I loved it. I actually thought that they did a really good job at keeping the mystery but satisfying ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, the mystery is still there, but it feels satisfying.
Yeah, like you don't really need to know why the way it ended.
Right.
You're
and
just like, okay.
And they've said that it's going to be a second season.
Well, yeah, they're the way it ended, there has to be a second season.
Well, they didn't know. I mean, because by the way, the other thing is they pitched this to like 18 different networks.
Are
passed
you serious?
On it. Yeah. I assumed it was like built for Netflix because it seems so Netflixian.
Yeah.
But it literally, they pitched it to 18 different networks and they all said no.
There's a guy who pitches around town all the time. That's nice to hear that like they kept going at it and.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, yeah. Know. Totally.
Well, it's like that My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend show that's on CW.
Oh, yeah.
Was originally created for Showtime, I think.
Yeah. Huh.
It was either Showtime or HBO or Cinemax, one of those three like premium channels.
Yeah.
And whichever network bought it, they shot a pilot and then they didn't pick it up.
Huh.
And then the woman who's the lead on that show created the show.
Yeah.
And then she just didn't fucking give up. She took that pilot and she pitched
the
pilot.
Didn't she win like a Golden Globe
or
an Emmy?
She won a fucking Golden Globe. Yeah. CW bought it and actually made a season. She won a Golden Globe. Like, you know. Just because one place doesn't get it doesn't mean someone else will.
Yeah, because you also don't know what's going on at that place. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, the other thing is we all have this, like, thought, this, like, glorious thought that every single person who's working in the entertainment industry is just about creating the best content.
Right.
Whereas it's like, well, no, it's a business. Yeah. And there are companies, like, the networks have hundreds and hundreds, sometimes thousands of employees that – and. All of them are, you know, their jobs are on the line. And if they're looking for a metric that they don't have, and you know what I mean? It's like you have no idea what the pressures are or what the deciding factors are about the creative choices, because it's not just, this is a cool thing.
Yeah, you would like to think that anyone who saw Stranger Things would be like, yeah, please put that on our network. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
They are doing the second season. It's going to take place, I think, a year after, because all the kids are growing up.
Sense.
And the Toothless kid's voice has changed a ton, they've said.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't do, you know, his pickups, his ADR pickups, because his voice changed.
Oh, wow. That's
funny.
Crazy.
Yeah, I know. They said they wanted to be a sequel.
Yeah, we need to get into a story, because we're...
Okay, yes, and, oh, geez. Well, the good news is, I don't even know, I'm sure you guys have heard about this.
Oh, I don't know. The Olympics? Yes, I've heard
about
that.
But if not, it's a big deal.
What's a big deal?
We've talked about self-driving cars for a long time.
Yeah.
Uber has just announced that they're putting self-driving cars into use in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, dear.
I did not hear this.
Next week.
Wow, let's go.
Oh, my gosh.
We can do our podcast.
So Uber actually bought Teslas and they're...
No.
Oh,
they've
what?
Been developing their own self-driving technology in conjunction with Volkswagen for 2 years.
No.
There are going to be self-driving Volkswagen cars either next week or the week after.
This sounds
in
like a terrible idea.
Now, here's the thing.
I don't have to feel guilty for not
here's
tipping.
Here's a couple things. No, you don't. Well, first off, it's Uber. You're not supposed to tip. That's the whole point.
Sometimes I do.
Oh, you're part of the problem, Tom. Anyway, so what happens is starting in the next week or the week after.
Okay.
You'll hail an Uber.
Yeah.
You won't know if it's going to be a self-driving or not until it shows up. They won't charge you for the ride because you're helping test out the system.
Oh, yeah.
But there will be a driver in the driver's seat that is not going to touch any of the controls.
Oh, yeah, it's just there
just
to make
there
sure.
In case something goes wrong.
Right.
And there's an observer who will sit in the passenger seat, the awesome. Driver's side passenger seat.
Wow.
Or the passenger
party,
seat,
man.
Front door, front passenger, shotgun. and I don't know yet. They didn't say if the observer is someone from Volvo or someone from Uber.
I thought you said Volkswagen.
No, Volvo.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
You said Volkswagen before.
Yeah, my mistake. Yeah.
Dirty liar.
Yeah, it's like the Volvo SUVs, the X50s or whatever.
Yeah.
So those are some of them, and then I think they have some sedans.
Right.
But so I don't know yet if it's a person from Uber, Volvo, or from the state of Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
Because right now, you cannot actually have a driverless car driving on the streets of... any city in Pennsylvania, there has to be a driver behind the steering wheel now.
Right.
Which is another reason why there's a driver behind the steering wheel, even though they don't need to be there.
Right.
So I'm guessing that the observer is actually from maybe the DMV of the state of Pennsylvania.
Being,
because if they watch enough of these, if they watch enough of these and they're like, these guys are perfectly fine. This car is perfectly fine. There doesn't need to be a driver in there.
Yeah.
But literally, guys, like this month, there will be driverless cars.
Driverless
driving people
around.
That's
crazy. Man. I thought you were going to talk about the fact that Uber's been doing Uber helicopter.
Oh, they have been?
What?
Yeah, I think it's I think it's in New York.
Oh, yeah.
It's not here, but I think
it's
in New York.
It's super spendy.
And it's just
it's crazy expensive, but you can actually Uber
ride.
A helicopter.
Yeah. Well, that leads into our next story. But, I mean, I just feel like we're always talking about Tesla and all that technology, the autopilot stuff, and how it's getting out to the public. But I feel like I was not prepared for news to drop that Uber was starting in 2 weeks.
I mean, I guess I would feel okay knowing that there is a driver there, but still, I don't know if I would get into a car without a driver.
Well, right now, I can understand that, but if they go a year and the Uber, look, this is the thing. It's like with the Tesla autopilot, right? It's like once you see that the data is that the computer is a much better driver than a human.
Right.
Once you get that, then you're like, okay.
Yeah.
I would much rather have that than some guy who just had a fight with his girlfriend, kind of pissed off and driving really fucking fast.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, if you think about it, it makes
sense. Someone who's driving drunk. Yeah.
Yeah, but it makes way more sense to put your life in the hands of a computer driver than some aggravated human driver that you have no idea who shows up and picks you up. And by the way, talk about all the stuff that we've been hearing about with women and their uncomfortableness of being in a car with a strange guy.
Right.
All of that goes away.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? The Uber driver gets mad at them and chases them down the street Lyft, which is even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Even if you get picked up in a driverless car, couldn't you get in the driver's seat just in case if you're that scared?
That's a good point.
I have a feeling they wouldn't want you to do that because, again,
who's be stopping you?
Well, the it wouldn't unlock.
That's another thing. I would imagine that all these
vandalism is going to be a thing.
No, that all the driverless cars would have cameras.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because of vandalism and things like that. So I guess there's nothing stopping you from getting
in
the driver's seat, but to make sure you didn't fuck up. Oh, if you throw up.
Yeah, because you think about it, that happens all the time.
Oh, all the time.
People get picked up drunk as shit. They throw up in the back.
Yeah.
And then it's like, if that happens, the person who requested the ride, gets charged $100.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's actually more than that.
Yeah. Something like that. But it's like a cleanup fee.
Yeah.
But if there's no driver and somebody horks in the back right when they're getting out, and then they just go and pick somebody else up.
Oh, right.
You're like, man.
That sucks.
Have you guys ever thrown up in the back seat of a car before?
I have thrown up out of windows of cars.
I've thrown up out of windows. Okay. Not many times. Twice. I've thrown up twice out of the window of a moving vehicle.
I've definitely thrown up at least twice out of the window of a moving vehicle that I was driving.
No.
What? Oh, yeah.
Why were you driving?
Alex.
Because I was not. Well, actually, so the one time that I remember really clearly, I was driving because my wife can't drive a manual transmission.
But you were drunk?
No, I was hungover.
Oh,
it was the morning after.
That's okay.
I had been drunk.
It's not safe
putting your head out of the window on a freeway and throwing up out of the side of your car.
Oh, that makes sense. I've only ever, only once or twice have I puked the next morning.
Oh, like,
Puke, it's the night of when I'm still drunk.
Agreed.
Yeah,
that's why I thought when you said you were driving.
I mostly puke the morning after I've been
hung.
I mostly hangover puke.
Oh god.
I mean, I also puke when I'm really really drunk, but I feel like it depends. You know what I mean? Because I mostly pass out, or I'll puke at 3 a.m. when I've gone to bed at 1 and I'm drunk as shit, and then it's like 3 in the morning.
You wake up and you have the spins.
Fucking spins.
I like to get out of my system Allison before you go to bed.
Yeah, I know. I do that every once in a while, but it's like, I don't know.
Anyway.
Throwing up is awesome.
Do we have time for one more story?
One more. It's connected.
Okay, good.
So again, we go back to
what?
We are assuming that technology is coming at us at a certain speed.
Right.
Then news like this happens.
Boom.
Where all of a sudden, bam, we're now dropped. That's a bomb.
Okay.
Automated taxis are going to start running in a couple weeks.
Right.
Like, we're that's in insane. Fucking Total Recall Johnny Cab. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. So this was also announced, which is Airbus.
What's Airbus?
Airbus.
Okay. So is that a plane?
They do make planes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're an aeronautic error.
planes was the right.
Planes. No, but what is it called? Not aerospace, but it's not space. Aeronautics?
Aeronautics,
I think. It's called aeronautics.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, they want to make autonomous flying taxis.
Oh boy.
By this time next year.
Oh,
what I miss, flying taxis?
So they're going to make these small urban flying taxis, these electric urban flying taxis that are
electric?
All automated,
electric.
Yeah.
Electric.
Wow.
Like
here's
drones.
The deal. So what happens is, so think about it, like you got to go to downtown LA for dinner or whatever.
Okay.
They're going to make these things called Zen Hubs.
Okay.
Which are going to be placed all over the city.
Okay.
So what you do is you go to one of the Zen Hub places, so maybe it's a couple blocks away or whatever, and then you order up one of these air taxis and tell it what Zen Hub you want to go to.
Yeah.
And then it literally will just, in 5 minutes, come, land, you get in it, and it'll take you to the other hub.
How can this possibly get passed through FDA?
Yeah, we have like airspace and stuff like that.
Well, but again, airspace is very specific, and they know about the airspace.
Right.
So why, you know what I mean? Like, the only problem is other plane right of way, but it's like, if you, first off, planes now, you see everything is mapped
right
in the airspace because you need to be able to delineate where people are. But also, all the planes, there's radar around the plane, so you can actually see the other planes. Like when I used to be flying, there was a map, and I could see the other planes in the direction they were flying.
Right.
So they can see. So there's collision avoidance technology that they have in these things.
Right.
So they don't have to worry about hitting another plane. They're never going to fly through commercial airspace.
Okay. Because they're just not getting airspace, high enough?
Well, no. I think commercial airspace, it depends on where it is. It always steps up a little bit because of takeoffs and landings.
Right.
But they won't, I have a feeling there'll be no Zen Hubs near LAX.
Right. No, of course not.
Or if they are, they're way on the outside of the airspace. And then you can walk 5 minutes into the airport, or you can take a little shuttle that they'll probably have shuttles running from the fucking air taxi to the thing. But think about it. Even if it didn't go much faster than a car, you're traveling as the crow flies.
Yep.
Right.
And there's absolutely no traffic.
Right.
So if you could go 80 miles an hour, even if you could go 60 miles an hour, straight in the direction you want to go with never stopping at a stop sign,
never
stopping at a stoplight.
I feel like even if it was 40 miles an hour, it makes sense.
No,
just
I know.
Go straight and not be in traffic.
Yeah. So they're thinking that by next year this time, they will have these things up and out and ready to go.
Are they
little planes?
They're like quadcopters.
Okay.
So they're like drones. They haven't shown. Well, no, they haven't shown what it is. But this is if you want to see, there's like an artist rendering of what it might look like.
So it's not really a plane. It looks like a cool little.
It's like a little pod.
It is. It's basically a drone.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you go, what does the word drone actually mean? Because there's so many different things. Like radio controlled airplanes aren't considered drones, even though radio controlled helicopters aren't considered drones, even though that's exactly what a drone is.
Right.
So it's sort of like drone is sort of an ambiguous term that just means flying thing.
How many people can fit in this thing?
Four? Yeah, I think four.
I gotta find three friends.
And then they said that
I feel like this is the Jetsons.
They also said since space is a premium.
Yeah.
If you have luggage, like let's say you're going to LAX, they actually have other things called Zen luggage.
Oh.
Where it will literally land, you put your luggage in it, it takes your luggage to the place, then the other one lands and takes you to the place, and then you meet your luggage at the place.
That's oh my gosh.
Awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
It totally feels like the Jetsons.
I would subscribe to, if there was a way that I could subscribe to this, you know what I mean?
I really, truly hope that our podcast is still around in a year, and that 1 year from now, we are having the story of
Alex's first trip in a Zen.
Well, they have the beta testers of the Zen.
Oh my God, if I found out that they were like, oh yeah, we're flying people to Cincinnati who are interested in this type of thing to try it out.
It's like what Uber's doing with the self-driving
Pittsburgh.
cars in Pittsburgh. Yeah,
I would totally go to Pittsburgh right now just to try to get a self-driving car.
Then you go to Pittsburgh right now, Alex.
I don't want to go to Pittsburgh right now.
No.
Cookie Monster says no.
Cookie Monster says no. All right. I think we did it.
Yeah,
I think
totally.
I think that's going to be it.
Guys, but how exciting. The future is literally
the future
here.
Is here. We are in the future. We have traveled through time
and space
and ended in the future.
Yep.
time travelers.
Lucky
we
us.
Actually, we totally did that.
We totally
did. We started in the past, and we are ending in what we that did. Was our future.
And this means we now have to end our podcast.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I can't talk.
It's apparently. All good.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's the Prosecco.
Email us, halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, halfhourhappyhr. Send us all your awesome, funny stuff. We appreciate you guys a total lot.
Like, a total lot.
Like, no idea. Soups a lot.
Like, not part of a lot, but like a total lot.
I'm Allison Hayslip.
And I'm Alex Albrecht. Sitting in this week as every week.
Yep.
The man, the myth, the legend.
I'm here.
Tom Supervolcano Krajewski.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, Tom. And we'll see you all next week.
Good night, everybody.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.